You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Hundreds flee burning Japan Airlines plane on a Tokyo runway. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne, and a very good morning to you. A plane carrying nearly 400 passengers had caught fire while landing in Haneda Airport in Tokyo. Reports suggest that a Coast Guard plane collided with the aircraft. The Japanese Airlines flight from Hokkaido burst into flames as it touched down. Runways at the airport are all closed and domestic arrival flights are being diverted to six other airports in Japan. The BBC's Suren Janatawari is following developments.
We saw the fire start. It was quite isolated on one part of the plane initially and for about 20 minutes. And it very quickly spread to what we're seeing now. Whether it's 379 or 400 passengers, the fact that they managed to get so many passengers off the plane in such a short space of time is really quite extraordinary.
Sir and Jana Tawari there. Now, let's do the numbers. The price of oil has ticked up slightly, with Brent crude up 2% following reports that Iran has sent a warship to the Red Sea, increasing tensions in the Suez Canal shipping route. And the Hong Kong pro-democracy campaigner and former newspaper boss Jimmy Lai has pleaded not guilty after a case against him resumed on Tuesday. Mr. Lai faces two counts of conspiracy to collude with foreign forces and conspiracy to publish seditious material. Here's the BBC's Luke Wilson.
Mr. Lai, who's 76, was flanked by three prison officers in the dock as he listened to the indictment. He's been held in solitary confinement for 3 years and faces life imprisonment if convicted. The media mogul's a UK citizen, and British Foreign Secretary David Cameron is among those who have called for his release. This is a case that sparked an international outcry and is widely seen as a test of Hong Kong's judicial independence. Mr. Lai is the founder of the now shuttered pro-democracy newspaper Apple Daily and is the most prominent person among 250 activists and protesters charged with violating the Beijing-backed national security law, which critics allege is being used to crack down on dissent.
Luke Wilson there. In his first New Year's address, Czech President Petr Pavel has called for his country to take steps towards adopting the European Union's single currency, the euro. The Czech Republic joined the EU in 2004 and using the euro was one of the conditions, but no governments made the move. January 1st marked 25 years since the euro's launch. Jean-Claude Trichet, former president of the European Central Bank, spoke to the BBC's Sam Fenech about what he makes of the euro's performance 25 years on.
It is obviously a formidable success because the, I would say, expectations were very poor. You had in the UK, in the US, a very large number of economists absolutely convinced that it would be a total failure.
I understand back then, 25 years ago, when you went to the United States, you had to explain to them what you were doing.
They were convinced that it was a pure fantasy. I would say 7 months before the 1st January 1999, they were very convinced by the articles, by their economists, by a number of Nobel Prize, that it was more or less impossible to make. And they realized that there was a will of the European to go in this direction.
Why did the European Union want a single currency?
To be sure that you had a single market, a functioning single market, to care for avoiding big changes in the value of the various currencies. So if we want really a working single market, we have to emulate the US single market.
That was Jean-Claude Trichet, former president of the ECB, speaking to Sam Fenech. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm still in that new year reflective period. And in the tech world, 2023 was all about AI. So what about 2024? Here's the BBC's technology editor, Zoe Kleinman.
There'll be no escape from artificial intelligence in 2024. We've seen some incredible advances already in 2023, with thousands of millions of people getting their hands directly on AI for the first time in the form of chatbots, music, and image generators. Expect to see more of those and to see the content they produce get better. I think we'll also hear of more medical research sped up because of AI tools, and we'll start to see if governments are up to the job of regulating this rapidly evolving tech, because let's not forget, as it gets more powerful, it also potentially gets more dangerous. We've also got some decent video games to look forward to. If 2023 was the year of the sequel, then 2024 could be the year of the remake, with Final Fantasy VII, Persona 3 and Mario vs. Sonic all getting new treatments. Finally, if all's going to plan inside the world's richest company, then early 2024 should begin with Apple's virtual reality headset, the Apple Vision Pro, going on sale. I was one of the first people in the world to try it out at Apple HQ in Cupertino back in June. The demo, tightly curated by Apple, was impressive, but also mundane. The tech worked, always a relief, but the content was pretty ordinary. I looked at photos, had a video chat with an avatar Apple employee, and received a text message from my fictional mum. I did also walk briefly with dinosaurs, but the focus was very much on many of the ordinary things I already do on my phone. And I think that's the point. I think the Apple Vision Pro is designed to eventually become your phone. It'll have to come down in cost from its £3,000 launch price tag, and I expect over time it'll become more like a pair of glasses and less like a headset. But let's face it, something will eventually replace our beloved rectangular smartphones. And it makes sense for that something to be wearable. Perhaps I'll be talking to you in mixed reality this time next year.
Zoe Kleinman there, and I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.